All right, back here on the Game Hour 2, John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you. Breaking Les Miles news this afternoon. Things going from bad to worse for Miles with the allegations that are coming out from the 2013 investigation into him via LSU. The USA Today has done more reporting on that. The details are not good. We'll get to more of that later on here in the second hour of the show. If you want to read the full report, check it out on Twitter at TheGameKMAN. You can find it there or on my Twitter account at JL Kurtz. But right now, we are very happy to have with us Tremaine Carroll, who is the new head strength and conditioning coach for K-State football. That hire being made official here within the last week. And first and foremost, really appreciate you taking the time to join us, Tremaine. What have your first impressions of Manhattan been? All right, we got phone line issues. Mitch, you're going to have to unplug it and plug it back in. That's the whole deal. You're going to have to unplug the Comrex, plug it back in. Good thing we've got Les Miles details to go over while we kill some time for that. That is unfortunate the way that that works out. But here's what's going on with Les Miles. So the story from USA Today reads as follows. At the height of his fame as LSU's head football coach, Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion, kissing a student and suggesting that they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her career. That according to an internal investigative report released by LSU Today. So this investigation came from a law firm on behalf of LSU in 2013. It did not find that Miles had sexual relationships with any of the women, but it found his behavior inappropriate. Miles strongly denied kissing the girl, according to the report. He said he did nothing wrong and was simply mentoring young women at the university. Miles also was accused by athletic department staff of saying that the female student workers who helped the football team lure top recruits needed to be attractive, blonde, and fit, according to the investigative report. Existing student employees who did not meet this criteria should be given fewer hours or terminated, the report details. All right, so that's not very good off the top, but there is way, way more to this actual report that includes the university also ordered him to stop hiring students to babysit, cease being alone with them, and attend 8 one-hour sessions with an attorney and pay for it out of his own pocket. If Miles repeated his behavior, the school said in the letter, he would lose his job and violate his contract. Now, after some of this started being uncovered by USA Today, LSU hired another outside law firm. This is Hush Blackwell. Hush Blackwell was hired to audit its handling of dozens of sexual misconduct cases since 2016, so a lot of this is because how LSU has handled things since. That report is expected to be released tomorrow, and according to USA Today's sources, we'll have even more details about Miles' conduct during his time at LSU. So it could get even worse, but the bottom line here is that Les Miles was told at one point in his tenure at LSU, he could not have one-on-one meetings or interactions with student employees and could not text or call them. So that's the gist of all the details there. Obviously, there's a ton to react to about that. But I believe we have Tremaine Carroll back on the line here, K-State head football strength and conditioning coach. Let's try this again. Welcome to Manhattan, Tremaine, and welcome to the show. What have your first impressions of Manhattan been?
It's been a great first impression. It feels like home. My wife and my son are actually here now. They're becoming well acquainted with the town, and you know, we couldn't be more excited to be a part of the Wildcat family.
Well, your son's name is Deuce. Obviously, that has a lot of that holds some value around here with the season that Deuce Vaughn had last year. Has Deuce met Deuce?
Yes, I was actually one of the first players he met. They came up to the facility on 2 days ago, and as we were walking out to the truck, Deuce was walking in for one of his position meetings, so he gave Deuce a fist bump, and they got their relationship started there.
Well, that's important. I like that. That's what we all needed to know. Everybody wanted to know the answer to that question. Tremaine Carroll is talking with us here, K-State football's new head strength and conditioning coach. How did things get in motion for you to wind up getting here to take this job at K-State?
And it was just a true blessing. You know, I can't take any credit for it at all. You know, obviously having ties to the staff here through Van Malone, you know, Coach Buddy Wyatt and Coach Jason Ray, we worked together previously. And, you know, when I got the opportunity to speak with Coach Kleiman, you know, I felt like I knew Coach forever. I felt like I knew him longer than I did on that phone call just because, you know, he was so genuine and authentic. And I knew that that we're building something special down here, and my family and I wanted to make sure that we're going to be a part of it.
What's it like working with Van Malone? Because he's, in just the time that he's been here, become one of my favorites to talk to on the staff. What's it like working with the guy?
He's a lot of fun. Honestly, my favorite part of working with Van Malone are the cookouts that we have. You know, going back to our days in Stillwater, we get together and cook crawfish on the weekend. So, you know, that probably is my favorite part of working with Coach Malone. But now he does a great job of relating to the players, and you know, he's like a father figure and to the players, and obviously a mentor to myself, just because, you know, I met Van when I was young in the profession, and you know, I really look to him for a lot of, you know, personal and professional advice, you know, in regards to coaching, but more importantly, you know, raising my family, being a great husband, being a great father. And, you know, those are the lessons that Van and Buddy, you know, they really make sure they take time to help me understand how I can do a better job.
Tremaine Carroll is talking with us. It's interesting you mention that, because Van has talked to us about that before. He's very high on his abilities to cook crawfish. Are you cooking with him? Like, what's your contribution when you guys have had these cookouts?
Well, that's the thing. You know, he taught me his method. And, you know, obviously me being the mentee in that situation, I'm going to make sure that I'm able to outdo him. So the years that we spent apart, I've kind of mastered my recipe. And, you know, I think I'm outshining my mentor at this point.
Okay, so you're excited, I'm imagining, to get this back together so that you can come in and show them up.
Absolutely. So his family won't tell you. They like my crawfish better than they like his crawfish, but they only eat his because, you know, he cooks them for them.
Okay, I like it. Well, I'm going to have to store that in the back of my mind the next time. I think we get Van on a Zoom here in the next couple of weeks. We'll have to see what he thinks about this. I like it. As a strength and conditioning coach, what to you are the key core tenets of what you need to do to be successful at this level?
You know, that varies, you know, by position, first and foremost. You know, so really this first week being here in Manhattan, I've been doing a lot of observing. Obviously, my number one priority is learning the team, you know, and establishing relationships with them, you know, just to where they know me as a person, I know them as people, just because before they put on that jersey and run out there on Saturdays, you know, they're people. So getting to understand them, where they are in their walk of life. And, you know, from there, we're going to obviously, you know, start training and learning their abilities within the weight room. You know, so the next step, obviously, I want to make sure that we approach their training and it breaks down by position. Obviously, you know, our offensive and defensive linemen, they have to be strong. They have to be physical. They have to make people move backwards. We play in the Big 12. This is a physical league, so we want to make sure that our guys up front are strong and physical to where they can make sure that they hold their own. You know, then our big skill positions, our tight ends, our linebackers, our fullbacks, they have to be a bit of a hybrid. You know, they have to pack a punch when they come up in the box, but they also have to be able to move well out in space, be able to run with a guy out of the backfield, and be able to make people miss and run down the field. You know, then with our skill positions, our running backs, our wide receivers, and our defensive backs, you know, those guys have to be able to fly. They have to be able to maintain top-end speed. And not only that, they have to be able to do it all day. You know, so as we come in and build a program from a strength and conditioning standpoint, we do it with all these factors in mind, just because there's no one cookie-cutter approach or one way we're going to come in and just train the team overall. No, we're going to train them for the position that they play, which is going to give us the best chances at being successful on Saturdays this fall.
Tremaine Carroll is talking with us right now, K-State's new head football strength and conditioning coach. I hear a lot, you know, and I think it's something that a lot of people may not realize, you know, just how much time a strength and conditioning coach is spending with the team on a regular basis, in particular in the offseason when the coaches can't have as much contact with them. How instrumental is a strength and conditioning coach in that regard with how much time that you're spending with them throughout the year?
That's the most critical part of the year. That's where you win and lose ball games, is in your off season. You know, so, you know, being this transition, being when the timing of it, you know, obviously I missed a lot of that window. I missed all of that window. You know, but, you know, just my initial evaluation coming in, you know, Coach Dawson did a phenomenal job with the guys and making sure that they were prepared for spring practice. You know, now coming in, I'm going to take and observe where they are right now, and we're going to build on top of the foundation that has been set with the winter off-season training program. You know, obviously, now that we're in spring practice, our goal is to make sure that guys continue to make gains throughout these 5 weeks. And then once we come out of spring practice, we have a four-week block to where, we're really going to get after it and set ourselves up for the summer training program, which is going to lead us in the fall camp and a lot of success this fall.
Now, you played at Oklahoma State 2001 to 2005, I believe I have that correct. Is working with kids today different than it was back when you were a player? And the reason I ask this question is because I think, you know, look, I'm a millennial. I'm 31 years old, so I maybe don't subscribe as much to this and I'm not as sensitive to it. But you talk to the old heads, I mean, they'll tell you, like, hey, kids these days, like, they want to transfer at the first sign of any adversity. And it seems like you do have to handle them a little bit differently. Like, how much would you say it's changed since the days that you were a player?
It's changed a tremendous amount, you know, and really the biggest factors being so is with the transfer rule, the transfer portal, you know, and just, you know, with all of the new legislation coming down from NCAA, you know, but those are uncontrollables. We have no control over that. But what we do have control over is our relationships with these young men on a daily basis. So I'm a firm believer that if you run the program the right way, which is exactly what Coach Kleiman is doing, and you develop relationships and you make that a priority this day and age, you can get after the kids as much as you want to because they know how much you care about them. I was always told that you can only push someone as far as they trust you. So if you can't push them very far, then you don't have enough money in that trust bank. So that's really my goal with this first couple of weeks being here, is just building up that trust bank as much as possible. So when we come out of spring practice, we have that four-week block. You know, we're able to push guys, and I'm able to push guys, and they know that it's coming from a good place, and I care about them as people.
I like that philosophy a lot. We're talking with Tremaine Carroll, who is the head strength and conditioning coach for the K-State football program. These are a couple of fairly self-indulgent questions here at the end, so bear with me. But we were curious, just having seen you look – like, you can bench an awful lot. How much can Tremaine Carroll bench these days?
Well, to be quite honest, I can't bust a grape with a sledgehammer if I wanted to. But I think the last time I maxed out on bench, it was only 385 pounds. I've never unracked 400 pounds. That's always been a goal of mine, but I've always come up a little bit short. So I got to get better.
Man, only 385 pounds, huh? that's
yeah.
Wild.
Oh, yeah. I got long arms, so.
Oh, okay. So in your playing days, you never hit 400 during your playing days?
Never hit 400. Best as a player was 375, and I increased that by only 10 pounds over the last few years. But I don't train as heavy as I did back then. My goal is to work smarter and not harder these days.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good strategy. Last thing I have for you here. So I am a pretty avid CrossFitter. So I'm curious, as a strength and conditioning coach and somebody who can bench 385 pounds, how do you feel about CrossFit?
I think it's great for orthopedic surgeons. You know, they love you guys in the CrossFit world. No, I'm just kidding. But, no, I think that, you know, I believe it's the same to each his own. You know, you find what drives you, what works for you, and then you go in that lane 100 miles an hour. So for some people, it's CrossFit. For some people, it's high-intensity interval training. For some people, it's just powerlifting or bodybuilding. I think that whatever wherever you are in life, you know, as long as you've given it your all 100% and it's challenging you, pushing you outside of your comfort zone, then you're going to naturally, you know, see benefits from it. So, you know, if it's CrossFit for you, then more power to you. You know, but I don't have anything against it.
Okay. Okay. Well, and to be fair, the first part of your answer there, I was at the orthopedic surgeon about 2.5 months ago with a CrossFit injury. So you're not wrong.
Oh, no.
You're not wrong. I appreciate it, Tremaine. Thanks for playing along with us. Appreciate you taking some time. And certainly welcome to Manhattan, and hope you and your family really enjoy it here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Can't wait to run out there this fall.
That's right. Hopefully to a full Bill Snyder family stadium. There's Tremaine Carroll, K-State football head strength and conditioning coach. Like that a lot. Like that a lot. Probably deserve the CrossFit shot. I know Mitch really enjoyed hearing that. Okay, we'll react to this Les Miles news coming up next, including like what happens with Jeff Long in all of this. That's next. Okay, so I think Derek actually had that totally nailed, didn't he? Didn't Derek say 390 or 380? And the answer was 385?
No, I think you guys are both in the 400s.
Well, Derek tried to change at the end. He tried to go back on it, and I was attempting to not let him. Derek was closer. I was too high with 450 on Tremaine Carroll's bench. Good interview, though. I like that.
It was. I like the guy. I like him. I like his attitude.
I was just talking to somebody else that works on the staff earlier today. He was telling me like how awesome he's been to be around so far. Seems very well-liked in the building so far. So good signs all the way around there. And, you know, if they ever want to invite me to one of these crawfish boils, I would be more than happy to oblige and attend.
I mean, it is just now becoming crawfish season down there in Louisiana, New Orleans. Like, it's usually like March through May, so this is like prime time crawfish season. Yes, I would love to be invited to one of those. I don't know if I'd leave. I'd probably stay there until all the crawfish was boiled and there wasn't one left, because you can keep going on crawfish. It's just a little bit of meat in every one. You just keep going and going and going. You're eating and eating and eating.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I've ever really had crawfish. So I'm very much in the dark on like what, yeah, like how many is an appropriate amount to eat? How are you supposed to eat them? That's another thing. Like, is there like a spot on the end that you rip off?
Well, yeah, the meat's in the tail. Like, you rip off the head, you suck on the head because it's got all the juices in it, and then you get the meat out of the tail and you eat the meat.
Okay. I sound so very Midwest right now. Next thing you know, I'm going to be asking about dipping them in ranch or ketchup.
Oh, that is uncalled for. You never, if you get caught doing that, you'll probably get kicked out of whatever crawfish boil you're at.
Yeah.
It's sacrilegious is what it is.
Yeah, I imagine that would be like very very similar to you know, someone making you a nice steak, and then you do that to the steak.
Oh, yeah, put some ketchup on it. Oh, yeah, big mistake.
Yeah. Speaking of ketchup, how about that transition? Jeff Long, probably not the best day for him. I imagine there's not a lot of great days since this Les Miles stuff, unfortunately, has started to come out. And by the way, like, in saying all of this, it's I think a difficult line to toe in like managing the severity of these allegations and like wanting to very much take seriously not just what's happened here with Les Miles, but like the fact that LSU had just been covering up a lot of this stuff, like sexual harassment allegations that have happened in multiple forms. But as far as it relates to Les and Kansas and Jeff Long, like, it's just hard not to laugh at some of the absurdity of this, that anybody would have thought Les was a good hire, with this stuff notwithstanding, and now you're having this come in the midst of an 0-for season last year, and staff members jumping already this offseason for lateral moves, at best. I mean, like, similar position jobs, like similar jobs at lesser schools, not in Power 5, and now you have to deal with all of this on top of it. It feels to me like, and again, I'll just give you a brief rundown. We've rattled off it's a lot. Go read the full story if you want to. At the Game KMAN on Twitter, you can find it, because it is worth a read, because there's just a lot here. But the lead graph here from the USA Today report is that Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion kissing a student and suggesting they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her career, according to an internal investigative report released by LSU Today. So the fact that there's another report that was conducted by Hush Blackwell, a different law firm that's supposed to be coming out tomorrow, released publicly tomorrow, it does not seem like there's a way that Les Miles is going to survive this. Does there? I mean, in today's climate, with how seriously we are taking these things, finally, I think it's even a lot different than if this had come out and seen the light of day in 2013. In the last 7 years, obviously, I mean, 2013, that's pre-Me Too movement. The country has changed a lot for the better in regard to how seriously we take some of these issues. And you also don't have a coach here with a ton of solid footing from like a wins and losses standpoint. So I don't know how it works as far as like if Kansas can get out of paying the rest of his contract, if this constitutes firing with cause. I'm sure there's stuff like that that would have to be worked out. But the bottom line at the end of the day is that I don't see a way that Les is surviving this. You know, if this happened to, I hate to even like throw a name out there, but, you know, like Lincoln Riley. Okay, like a guy who's won a bunch and is at the top of the profession where he's at right now. Okay, then like what happens then? That may be more interesting because you would figure there would be more resistance on that end of it. But Kansas, you know that the football side of this is already bad. Now you're dealing with a PR nightmare. How difficult is it going to be to recruit off of this? And, you know, oh, by the way, doing the right thing is involved there also. But listen, this is Kansas. They have not really been in the business of doing the right thing on the Puka Williams front, on the minding NCAA rules front, on a number of different fronts. That's not really their specialty. So that's why I list that last there. But I don't see a way that Les is coming out of this alive.
So with the LSU internal investigation, what we know is really two still this point. It's a he said, she said, which, like you said, we're gonna get more out of this. It's just a matter of hours at this point. And hours might be the length of job security that Les Miles has left with the University of Kansas. But where I look at it is right now is – With LSU and leaving LSU, getting fired, and now being the KU head coach, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here, John. KU is saying that when they hired Les Miles, they didn't know about this incident where he did pay a woman who has accused them of these allegations to not say anything, and it not leaking to the press, not leaking to the media, and not leaking to the worldwide college football fan base, especially at LSU. So KU's really their only option now is to get rid of him because it makes them look bad that they hired this guy. But also they Les Miles kept this from them, if that's true, that KU did not know that this has all taken place.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, there would have to be, that's a good point. Like at what point in the vetting process of making a hire does it come up, like, do you just ask the guy point blank, like face to face, like, hey, is there anything that we need to know about? I don't know how it would work. Is that asked of his agent? Is that asked of like some form of representation for him? Is it all incumbent upon Kansas to just go there, do their due diligence on that front? I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly how exactly that is supposed to work. So that's a good question. And like how much, you know, I'm sure that comes into like some of the legality of getting out of his contract. Like, there would be a lot of details to litigate and a lot of details to try to work out. But, I mean, if they're – this is pretty bad. Like, you go through and you read this about how he's using burner phones. He's, like, telling these girls to make sure to use an alias with his number in their phone, and he's using a different phone than his actual school phone, presumably so that, like, nobody could track him there, and taking her in a car one-on-one, kissing her. The official report said we could not verify 100% whether or not that happened, but it was just they also didn't verify that it didn't happen. They just said we can't figure it out, and either way, the conduct was unbecoming because, I mean, you're alone in a car with this student worker for you, like, talking about advancing her career and, like, hey, let's go to my condo. I mean, there's obviously some weird stuff going on here and some not very good stuff going on here. So, I don't think for Kansas it would be, one, worth it really to bring him back, and two, I just don't think you can. I don't think you can in today's. I think that's going to be the bottom line. If there, but the point, I guess, that where I was going with that, I got a bit lost for a second. Where I was going with that, because this is a lot to sort through, is like if those are the details already right now, and there are more details that could come out tomorrow, like if they get further into it, there are more details on top of that. Like, man, like at what point is enough enough? I mean, we already found out here that LSU, well, being the school that's tried to cover all of this stuff up and basically not do anything in response to all this stuff over a portion of years, they came back and told the guy, like, hey man, no more one-on-one meetings or interactions with student employees. Like, you can't text these people, you can't call these people, You have to stay away from the student employees. LSU, who has not done, they barely lifted a finger to try and prevent any of this stuff from happening. They did tell him, like, hey, man, back off. You can't be around these people anymore. They cared enough to do that, even though they don't care enough to do much of anything. That, to me, tells me something, too, and speaks volumes about what it is that they were dealing with here.
But they still cared enough to keep him around as a head coach, even though they said, oh, hey, but you cannot have any interaction with female students. That is not going to be allowed. But, hey, we're going to still allow you to coach college football and continue to try to win us some national championships and win some SEC titles. And everybody at this point in this situation, LSU, Les Miles, and Kansas, this Les Miles sandwich of controversy, they're all covering their hides at this point. KU is, I mean, look, it's in the report. They're trying to separate themselves from Les Miles without actually firing him. They're saying, we don't know about this. He didn't tell us about this. Les Miles is playing the deny game, and now LSU is a big part of getting this information out.
Yeah, well, if you're Kansas, like it, before this story came out, you know, I mean, that statement from Kansas was made before this story. It was when the initial story came out. What has that been, a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Their statement then, like, made a lot of sense, where I'm sure they were just like, look, we don't know for sure if this is going to come out. I would have just done the same thing and kicked a can down the road and see, like, all right, well, let's see what's going to happen here. Let's do our own investigating on our end and try and figure out and see if we know what we know and what's going to happen here. I probably would have done the same thing or advised them to do the same thing. But now this is when you're like, okay, well, this is out here. More is coming. The bigger question to me, it feels like a foregone conclusion. Les is going to be gone. The bigger question to me would be what happens with Jeff Long? The guy who hired him, clearly it's not been good on a football front. Clearly it's not been good on just like where Les is cognitively. Clearly it's not good on like people leaving the staff. And then now you have these allegations and you were either implicit or ignorant in the fact that you hired him with either not knowing this or did it anyway well having some idea of this. Can't be having that. Can't be having that at $1.5 million per year, which is the salary that Jeff Long is getting paid. But does that contract save him? I don't know, man. Like I said with Derek in hour one, it's a mess, but I don't think Les winds up really surviving this thing. All right, number one song of the day.
If we're going to do number one song, we need to do it now because we're 5 minutes away from volleyball pregame.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay. All right, do it.
All right, well, I got to get it tuned up here because you're going to love it.
I know I am. I already saw what it is.
Okay.
Con los terroristas.
Then do the Harlem Shake.
2013 Harlem Shake by Bauer. 5 weeks at number one. When it entered the Hot 100 chart, it went straight to number one. Not many people can say they've done that. Now, this was not on a studio album. Did you know this was actually released originally on SoundCloud, where we put our podcasts?
Well, that's how this started, was on SoundCloud?
Yeah, so wow. It was on February 1st of 2012, SoundCloud. It was published. And by the way, I went and looked up the original clip. 8.48 million listens on SoundCloud for Bauer. It was a year and a day later where a guy by the name of Filthy Frank put the original Harlem Shake YouTube video up about, you know, just one guy dancing and then everybody jumps in. It gets crazy once the Do the Harlem Shake kicks in. Well, since that took place in February 2013, it was a trend for a short while, a month or two, where everybody wanted to make the Harlem Shake videos, right? You know, a group of people get together, the one guy's dancing at first, and everybody's in costumes, and do the Harlem Shake, everybody's going just absolutely nuts. K-State did one. K-Rock, K-Rock.
Everybody did one.
So
everybody did
this
one.
This is the one nugget I want to squeeze in here about Bauer and the Harlem Shake. So YouTube has on their site, it's called Content ID Services. So this allows artists, labels, and publishers, when everything is trending, a song is trending, it's a part of something like the Harlem Shake, was they get money from the views on the YouTube videos that people randomly post from other people. So according to MSN Money, Bauer earned $6 for every 1,000 views of every video featuring a Harlem Shake.
Really?
And there are over 3,000 Harlem Shake videos on YouTube.
Do we have the total views number on that?
No,
can we start doing some math?
I mean, I'm not going to go look up 3,000 videos to give you a nugget that's going to last 5 seconds. That's about it.
I do dig this. I did dig this when it happened, as you can probably imagine. But this was one of those things, it felt like it was like a lightning bolt, you know, a shooting star. It came and it was popular for a minute and then it went away. Like, this was not quite as much of like a shooting star, but to an extent very similar to the Black Beatles thing. The Mannequin Challenge, I believe it was actually called, but the song Black Beatles by Ray Sherman. Ray Sherman, I think is how you actually say it. Anyway, in the same vein as that. Oh, now the song ends and we just have to go dry for the last 20 seconds here?
Boy. Here.
Come back, Harlem Shake. Come back, Harlem Shake. I miss you. That was a good number one song of the day. We didn't have enough time for you. I'm sorry. Thanks to Tremaine Carroll and Derek Young for coming on today. That was a lot of fun. We'll see you soon.
This is Gavin Schmidt, commercial lender with ESPN.